This morning we will continue on in our study through the Old Testament and the book of Genesis. And we have on the screen there, you see Genesis 31 to 35. Sounds like it could be a long message just by reading the verses. But we're not going to read the entirety of those chapters, but I would like to pull some thoughts here in the message from these chapters. I trust it will be a blessing and a help and a challenge to us in our walk with the Lord, and if you don't know the Lord, and coming to know the Lord. Last week in our message, we saw how Jacob went from familiarity with God, based on what he had been taught, to really knowing God, to meeting God, as he fled from the fear of his brother and went to dwell in Padan Aram, a place far away where his family, from his mother's side, dwelt. We talked about the blessing of the Christian home, the importance of knowing God personally. Though Jacob had met the Lord, though, and had been changed, he still had a lot to learn. And isn't that the case in all of our lives? We have a lot to learn. The day we get saved is a new life in Christ, but we're just babes in Christ, and we have a lot to learn. If we're done learning, I think we'll be done in this earth. But we've got some things to learn, so we carry on in our pilgrimage, as it were, with the Lord. In the 20 years that Jacob spent with Laban, he learned much and continued on his journey back to Canaan, back to where he needed to be, back to where God had called him to go. He left Canaan as Jacob, a deceiver, a supplanter, but he returned as Israel. Israel, a prince with God. Though we often think about the prince being a royalty, somebody who is, you know, born with a silver spoon in their mouth, as the saying goes, and all those kind of things, we learn that what means becoming a prince with God is a different story altogether. It's speaking about having power with God. Having power with God. Think about Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver, the one who didn't know God for many years, although he was familiar with God, came to know God and became a prince with God, one who had power with God. What a transformation, what a great change in his life. You know, having God's ear when we pray, and having God's strength in difficulty, having God's wisdom to know God's plan, God's words to witness and speak for Him, God's compassion to reach out. These are things that every one of us needs in our life, and these are things that we would say come with having power with God. But it doesn't happen overnight. We must get to know Him and learn how to walk with Him. As we said, salvation is a beginning, but it's just that, it's a beginning of a new relationship, of a new walk with God. And so this morning I'd like to challenge us with the thought of becoming a prince with God. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin the message. Lord, thank you that we can look in your word this morning. Lord, we pray that you take these portions of scripture that we look at today, and Lord, we understand they were written about a man who lived in a different time many years ago. Different circumstances of his pilgrimage on this earth. But Lord, we know that you've told us that your word is for our learning. We know that we can learn from this passage, these passages of scripture, things that we can apply in our life. And I pray you'd help us to do that today. Help us, Lord, we pray, to learn what it means to have the power of God in our life. Not just to be content with knowing you and knowing our eternal destiny is secure, but to have the power of God in our life, and to know that our prayers are effective, and to know that our lives are being directed by you. So, Lord, I pray you take this scripture today and apply it to our life, that we leave here changed, that we leave here different, that we leave here encouraged, indeed, in our walk with you. For we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to begin in chapter 31 here of Genesis, verses 1 to 18. And the Bible says, "And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me, and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstraked be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstraked. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father, and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's, now then, whatsoever God saith unto thee, do. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. And he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. We find here a change taking place in Jacob's life, and we realize that Jacob became understanding the importance of being positioned by God. In his journey about becoming a prince with God, having power with God, he realized the importance of being where God wanted him to be. You know, if we want God's power in our life, we need to be in submission to God's will and to God's plan. There were changing circumstances in Jacob's life. Things were different than they had been. When he first fled from Canaan, from his father, and in fear of his brother, and he arrived in Padan Aram, he was welcomed with open arms. Boy, they were glad to see him. They were, oh, this is our sister's son, and what a wonderful thing that he's come to be with us, and so on. He was able to get two wives, actually, which, of course, that's not what God would have had planned, but that's what he did. But he was able to get one of those wives, those daughters, and become his wife, and so on. Because they liked him. They were blessed to have him there. Things were good. He was well favored with the family. He had spent 20 years there accumulating family and wealth. He came with nothing. He came with his staff in his hand. But he was leaving with a great herd of flocks. He was leaving with a great family. God had blessed him. There's no doubt. God had protected him. He said that. He said to them, he said, Your father's changed my wages 10 times. You know, I'm sure that he wouldn't have minded if he got 10 raises. But I don't think that's the way it worked, was it? That's not the way it worked. We see because Laban said, well, you can have the kind of the poor cattle. And then when he started taking the cattle that was the poor cattle, God multiplied that and made it great. And Laban said, oh, hold on, I changed my mind. You can have this color of cattle instead. You can have these ones instead. But God kept blessing him. But he said, God had watched over me. God has protected me from your father trying to deceive me and change my wages 10 times. Things were changing. Though Laban, on the outside, according to what we read in the next chapter, didn't want Jacob to leave, yet he really wasn't making it comfortable for Jacob to stay. Laban's sons were jealous of God's blessing. We read that in verse 1. Jacob's heard them saying, listen, Jacob's taken everything. Jacob's taken our stuff. Well, it wasn't what happened. God blessed Jacob, and even though their father tried to deceive Jacob. But they were jealous of God's blessing on Jacob. God was using the changing circumstances to direct Jacob back to Canaan, where he was supposed to have gone to begin with. When God called Abraham out, he called him to leave and go to Canaan. That promise was not only to Abraham, that was to Isaac, and that was to Jacob. Remember how it was very concerning for Abraham that Isaac wouldn't leave to go find a wife. but rather that they would bring him a wife, because they didn't want Isaac to be tempted to stay back here where Jacob had been for 20 years. Because Canaan was the place that God had promised. And he was supposed to go back there. And God was using these uncomfortable circumstances of Laban's deceit, these circumstances of the brothers of his wives not being very happy with him, to make Jacob realize it's time for you to get back to where you should have been a long time ago. He needed to be positioned where he was supposed to be. But very clearly, it wasn't just circumstances, but God was very open and very clear. And God spoke to Jacob in a dream saying, Jacob, you need to go back. So it wasn't just the uncomfortable circumstance, but there was a very clear vision that God gave to Jacob to say, Jacob, you need to come back to Canaan, back to the place that I have called you to be, back to the promised land that I promised to you, as you're the one that I've blessed. You're the one that received the blessing. You're the one that's the descendant. You're the one that's supposed to claim this land, you and your family. Jacob had vowed a vow. He said, Lord, if you'll watch over me and bring me back, I'll serve you. I'll give a tenth back to you. And God was saying, Jacob, you need to be back here. I already told you, this is where you need to be. I'm sure that all of Jacob's life, he'd heard when he was at home, God didn't want us to be staying in Padan-Aram or in Ur. God wanted us to be here in Canaan and the land. He knew, and God very clearly said to him, it's time to come back. Jacob's desire was to be where God wanted him to be. If we had the time, we could look back in chapter 30. We'll just look at one verse in Genesis chapter 30, verse 25. God had already been speaking to Jacob's heart about this. And it says in chapter 30, verse 25, it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Excuse me, that's the wrong verse. I'm in chapter 29. I got a new Bible yesterday, and the pages are thin. There we go. I'll get the right page. All right. Verse 35, 25 of chapter 30, it says, it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Jacob realized it was time. God was calling him back. God used circumstances. God used the direct, clear leading of his word in Jacob's life to say, it's time I went back. I ask you this morning, are you following the clear direction of God in your life? Are you doing what he clearly says? You say, what do you mean by that? You know, the Bible is very clear about some things. A lot of people say, I want to know all the details about what God has for me in my life. And that's good. We should want to know all the details about what God wants us to do with our life and so on. But the question is, are we doing what we know to do already? Are we reading our Bible? Are we praying? Are we being faithful to church? Are we giving? Are we giving out the gospel? See, if we're not willing to do the things that God writes down in very clearly in black and white in the Bible, then why would we expect God to be showing us the things that He, the specific plan and details that He has for our life? We want to have power with God. We want to be a prince with God. We need to realize we need to be in the place that God wants us to be. The place that God wants us to be, He will show us as we follow Him faithfully in the things that we clearly know what to do with our life. And we see the support of Jacob's family in going back to Canaan. Now realize this, Leah and Rachel had never been to Canaan. This was not going home for them. This was going home for Jacob, but he was the only one that it was going home for. None of his children had been to Canaan before. None of his family at all had been there. This was going home for him, but for them, it wasn't. You know, Jacob had made some huge mistakes in his life. But this time he got it right. This time he said, I'm going to do what is right before God. I'm going to follow God's leading, and I want to get counsel to make sure that this is what God is doing in my life. And he pulled his wives aside and explained everything to them. He reminded them how God had provided for them, and God had prepared their hearts to leave their home. And they said, Jacob, if you think that's where God wants us to go, we will follow you. We will go. Let's go. What an encouraging thing that must have been for Jacob to have the support of his family in following God's will for his life. When pursuing God's direction in your life, it's important to consider those who will be most impacted by it. You know, Jacob didn't consider what his brother Esau thought when he stole the blessing. He didn't think how it would hurt their family. He didn't think about all the ramifications of it. He was just looking out for me. Jacob, I'm number one. I want to get it. But here, he's saying, I want to do what God wants me to do. And God seems to be changing some circumstances. And God showed me, but I want to make sure that I have the support of my family who is going to be impacted by this, who is going to be going back with me. You know, the husband is to be the leader of the home, but it would be foolish of any man to unilaterally decide something that impacts his family without talking to them about it. God's given us wisdom, and I believe that Jacob used some wisdom here in getting the support of his family to go back and follow God. Now, Jesus did say in other places, don't let your family stop you from following God. But it's very wise of us to talk to those in our family, to talk to those who are looking out for our spiritual well-being, to say, I believe God's leading me in this. What do you think? Would you pray with me about this? Those that you love and those that love you and love God will want to have you follow and do what God wants you to do. Jacob was positioned by God. He was where God wanted him to be. How about us today? I'm not just talking about a geographical location. I'm talking about in our lives. Are we where God wants us to be? Are we spiritually in the place that God wants us? Are we being the people that He clearly has shown us in His Word that He wants us to do? He may have been speaking to your heart about it and you've been resisting, but follow what God wants you. If you want power with God, you need to be positioned by God, but you also need to prevail with God. Prevailing with God is seen in chapter 32 here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 32 is a familiar story again in Jacob's life that probably many of us have heard. You may have even sung the song, "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder." We talk here about how Jacob prevailed in prayer with God. And we'll see that in the message this morning. But Genesis chapter 32, it says in verse 6, "And messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Now remember, they were heading home. He left on bad terms. He was afraid of his brother. Now he's on his way back to Canaan, and he hears, my brother is coming, and he's got 400 men with him. That's a little daunting, isn't it? When you knew he was out to kill you before you left 20 years ago. So no wonder it says in verse 7, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." Yeah, I would be too. 400 men on the side of my brother who was ready to kill me when I left. And I haven't done anything really to make it right with him over the past 20 years other than hope the dust settles. So Jacob is greatly distressed here. And what does he do? He says in verse 8, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. So he's got his people divided up into two different camps. And Jacob said, verse 9, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of thy truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Skip down to verse 24. It says, And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. As he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. I want to see this morning that Jacob prevailed with God. He got to where he should be. He was in the place spiritually and headed to the place geographically where God wanted him. But he also learned what it meant to prevail with God in prayer. He was moved by fear. Read that in verses 6 to 8. He was terrified. He was afraid. He divided the group up into two so at least one would have a chance to escape. He thought for sure that his life was destined for the sword of his brother. But in fear, he called out to God. You know, it's a good thing to call out to God in our fears. There are many promises in the Bible that say, fear not. Jacob did not fear so much anymore. Was he still a little tentative? I think he was. But if you look down at what we read in verse 30, it says, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen the face of God, and my life is preserved. I think he had faith that no matter what happened when he met Esau, his life was preserved. His fears were what he went to God with. He was moved by fear. But he called unto God in his fear, and as the psalmist said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fear. Look at Jacob's prayer. What a prayer of humility. We already mentioned it, but Jacob was a person who was filled with self. Jacob was self-centered. Jacob said, What's in it for me? But now look at what Jacob prayed as we read there in verses 9 and 10. Particularly in verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. God, I'm not worthy of what you've done. I left here and all I had was my staff, maybe a little bit of food. I picture Jacob leaving like the old typical scenario of the days gone by, a stick over the shoulder with a little sack tied to with a little bit of bag of food in it. So that's how I left. But look at what I came back with. I'm not worthy of this. God, you've blessed me so immensely. I don't understand why you have done this. I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and all of thy truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Wow. God blessed him and he showed him truth. Jacob the deceiver said, God, you show me truth. All I knew was deception and trying to get my own way. And God, you've given me truth. You've delivered me in mercy and you've blessed me with all this abundance. You know, when we come face to face with God, we must humble ourselves because we recognize He is great and we are small. We're not worthy. We can't come to say, yeah, look at me, God. It's about time you bless me because I deserve it. Look at what I've done. No, we can't. We can't come. When we're face to face with God, we have to acknowledge like Jacob. We have to say, Lord, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of you being merciful to me. I'm not worthy that you gave me your word. I'm not worthy of the blessings that you poured out in my life. You are great and I am small. James 4:6 tells us that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Jacob experienced the grace of God as he humbled himself before God. I wonder how often we try to hide our true feelings from God when He knows them. How much better to come honestly like Jacob did here. Lord, I'm not worthy. It's not about me. It's about you. And look what you've done for me. And God, please, now you've said you do these things for me. I don't deserve it, but please, Lord, honor your word. And isn't that what we see here? He claimed the promises of God. He said in verse 9, Lord, you said I need to return. It's dangerous for me to go back, but Lord, you said I need to return. And so, Lord, you said I need to go back. So, verse 11, deliver me from the hand of my brother. I fear him. God, you said in verse 12, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Lord, you've given these promises. And if these are your promises and these are what you have to say that you've said to me, then Lord, this is what all I'm claiming. I don't deserve it, but God, I'm just coming to you based on what you said that you would do for me in my life. You know, Hebrews 13:5 says that God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Why can we say that? Because he promised never to leave us. We can't just boldly say, well, God's on my side, so I'm good. Except for the fact that God said, I am with you. So based on his promise, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. There's so many promises in the Bible relating to our lives and relating to prayer. Jesus told us to ask and seek and knock in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And he said if we would ask, we would receive, if we seek, if we find, if we knock, it will be opened unto us. We need to claim that. God, you said this. Not because I deserve it. I'm not worthy, but this is what you said in your word. When we come to pray, we do so knowing that God has made these exceeding great and precious promises. Whereunto we do well that we take heed. The only reason God has to hear our prayer is because he said he would. I say has to hear it. It's just based on the fact that he said he would. It's a promise of God. It's great to know that God is a God of his word. His promises are worth claiming. And Jacob came to this place. He said, Lord, I'm afraid. I fear. I'm not worthy of anything that you do, but you made a promise, God. And all I'm doing right now is claiming that promise when I move forward in doing what you want me to do. And Jacob was persistent. We read it in verses 24 to 32. He met with God and he said, the Bible says that God said, let me go. And Jacob said, no, Lord, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. Jacob wrestled with God in prayer. He spent the night in prayer. You know, the Bible says that Jesus went into a mountain apart to pray and prayed all night. We read about the church in Acts chapter 12 where Peter's in prison and prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Peter. What were they doing? They were wrestling in prayer. They were prevailing in prayer. Jacob learned how to do it. Jesus knew how to do it. Of course, as the Son of God, the church did it. But how about you and I? How many times do we just pray a little prayer and forget what we even prayed about and go on our way and don't even think about it again? Jacob said, Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to get off my knees until I have what I need from you, God. We ask for something, forget about it. We fail to truly seek God for the needs of our lives. Jesus taught about the importunity in prayer. What does that mean? It means that we have a great need and we say, I cannot stop asking until God gives me an answer. That man in Luke chapter 11 that Jesus speaks about in verses 5 to 10, his friend came unto him at midnight. He had no food and he went to his friend's house. And he said, listen, I need some food. And his friend said, go away, it's midnight. We're asleep. Just go away and leave us alone. And he said, no, I will not leave. I need to provide my guest with something to eat and I don't have anything. I need it and I'm not going to leave until I have it. Jesus said that we need to pray that way. The unjust judge said to the woman, go away, I'm not going to do anything about the situation that you're in. And she said, no, I'm going to keep coming back every day. And every day she came back and every day she said, you need to do something for me. And every day she was sent away until finally the judge said, listen, I don't care about you, I don't fear God, but you're bothering me so much. Okay, I will grant you your desire. Jesus said that he told that parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If we would have power with God, we must be persistent and prevail in prayer. And so we see that he was positioned by God. He prevailed with God and he found power with God. He became a prince with God in verse 35, verses 1 to 15. Genesis chapter 35, God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, and it appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. It says that Deborah, Barak's nurse, died and was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Allenbacheth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be with thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and to Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. See what happens when Jacob was in the place he needed to be, and he prevailed with God like he needed to. God said, you have become a prince with me. Jacob went to Bethel to meet with God, where he had met with God before. God called Jacob back to Bethel, back to the place where he had met with him on his way fleeing from Canaan before. The call to Bethel was a reminder of the day Jacob met God, the day his life was changed. We talked about that list last week, how his life was changed, and how that place in our life, we ought to be able to go back to that place in our life. God told Israel to remember that they were slaves, and to remember that God had delivered them with a mighty hand. They had the Passover every year to remind them of God's deliverance. And we should be able to go back in our mind's eye to the place where we met Christ and our life was changed. And Jacob was called to go back to Bethel. And you notice what happens this time, though? He doesn't go alone. He says to his family, arise and let us go to Bethel. He didn't leave them in a camp somewhere else. He said, we need to go to Bethel. You all need to meet God like I met God. We need to go back to that place where I met with God. And so he says to them, put away the strange gods from among you. Remember what happened in the intervening chapters here when Laban chased after. He said, who stole my gods? Who was it that had them? Rachel had them. Jacob knew that his family was not right with God, and he said, listen, you need to put away the strange gods. You need to take out those earrings the commentators believe those earrings were earrings that had symbolic pagan symbolism attached to them to the idols and so on. So you need to get rid of those, because we're going to meet with the true God. We're going to meet with the God who appeared to me, Bethel. Jacob did not send his family to Bethel. He led his family to Bethel. They followed him willingly because they could see what God had done in his life. Jacob buried the idols, likely after destroying them, so that they wouldn't be worshipped. He said, let's get rid of these. We're meeting with the true God. We're going to worship him. Those who know God and have power with God, have a desire to bring their family and their friends to Him, not just to show, so that they can know Him, but so that they can be dedicated to Him and serve Him with their life. The father who knows Christ and is walking with Him wants nothing better than for his children to know that same God that he knows. John says in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Power with God. Prince with God. God protected. And we don't have time to think about it much, but what a great thing it is to think about how God protected them, and the fear of God came upon those people. They didn't attack Jacob and his family wandering through that wilderness. And God renewed the covenant to them in verses 6 to 15 as we read it. Jacob renewed that covenant with God. He named it El Bethel. What does El mean? It means God of the house of God. This wasn't just a place where he had met God in the past. This was a place where he met God now again. He renews his covenant with God. And God says, Jacob, your name isn't Jacob anymore. You found power with me. You become a prince with me. What a wonderful, exciting thing it is that Jacob, the deceiver, the supplanter, wasn't to be known by that anymore. He was to be known as one who had power with God. Oh, he wasn't perfect. You can read the rest of Genesis. He wasn't a perfect man, but he had found power with God. What a wonderful thing it is to know the power of God in our life. If there's anything we need today, it's power with God. So I'd like to have a nicer house or a newer car, or I'd like to have more things. I'd like to be able to do this and do that. No, what you need more than anything else is God's power in your life. To know that God is actively at work, hearing and answering prayer. That power begins with salvation. You can't have God's power if you're not saved, you don't know Him. You can't have His power in your life. Do you know Him today? Has there been a place in your life where you met with God, where you said, God, I'm not worthy of You. I don't deserve anything. I'm a sinner, but I need a Savior. I believe Jesus died for me. I receive Your gift of salvation, Lord. A place where you meet with God. If you have that in your life, that's where it starts. But Christian, we need the power of God. Are we where God wants us to be in our life? Are we allowing God to position us, to place us, to have us in the thing, doing the things that we need to be for Him? Are we prevailing in our prayers, unwilling to give up until we say, God answered, God heard, and God's actively involved in this situation? I'm asking you today, do you have His power? Today's Father's Day. Man, Jacob was a father, and he failed in many ways, but Jacob, the father, became a prince with God. If there's anything we need today as fathers, it's to have the power of God in our life. Are you a prince with God today? But ladies, God needs princesses too. People who have power with God.